on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
7 past 9, good morning and welcome to the program. During the NAB Challenge, the AFL trialled 4 umpires with great success. On the weekend, Greg Denham this week wrote that Michael Walters was KO'd and subbed off with concussion and no free kick was paid. Denham said it was the worst umpiring non-decision this year. I've said before, with large numbers around the ball and a huge ground to cover, I've always been keen to have 4 umpires adjudicate the game. What the AFL should do is trial 4 umpires this premiership season. See how it works under the pressure of home and away games. Let the fans, players and coaches get a real understanding of the advantages of having an extra set of eyes. I'm KB. That's my take.
Dunn needed to go harder. He ended up getting Walters high, but no free kick from the umpire. So the Freo Dockers get a bit of a rough end of the stick sort of rough deal there from the umpire.
One of the things I'm really looking forward to is what position they can get themselves in to get around that contest. Play has been more condensed there for a while, and I think this gives us a chance to position them so they can see all through that. And, you know, maybe one day it might sort of lead us to a path where an umpire could do more than one game on a weekend.
9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433 98 1116, if you want to send through that SMS. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. That was Michael Walters there, that non-free kick that Greg Denham was speaking about early in the week, and also Mark Evans, of course, Football Operations Manager for the AFL, before the NAB Challenge Series, when the AFL announced that they would be trialling 4 umpires during the pre-season competition. I think that we should grab this opportunity during the course of the season and actually trial 4 umpires and let the fans know, and the players and the coaches, and let's have a look at it under the pressures of 4 points. What's your thoughts on that? 9429 1116. Would you like to see 4 umpires trialled during the course of the season? You can always set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind in sport? Coming up, Greg Venom Denham taking your calls. Don't forget also Brett Phillips. So I want to have a chat to Brett Phillips today, our tennis guru, because if you haven't caught up with the news overnight, Nick Kyrgios has defeated Roger Federer at the Madrid Open. Now, to me, this is a significant win for this young boy who we think can go all the way in the world of tennis. So Brett Phillips will join us and bring us up to speed there. And the buzz, Johnny Ralph, always taking your calls and his famous stings from 11. But coming up, Greg Venom Denham. He's poison, all right. That's Greg Venom Denham. G'day, Greg.
G'day, Kev.
You like that idea?
Oh, I love that idea. I don't agree with you all the time, but I certainly agree with you on that today. Mm. Like, and I think that if there was a 4th umpire, for example, and we saw it in the NAB Cup where they patrolled the boundary line more, there would have been a great line of sight for a 4th umpire to pick up that free kick last Sunday at the MCG, because we don't want obvious ones like that going through to the keeper. I mean, they may well affect a big game down the track. Now, that Lyndon Dunn knee to Walter's head, it went to the match view panel on Monday, and they actually said that it was caused by circumstances outside his control when Walters turned into him, so I don't have a problem there. But it definitely was a free kick, one of the worst non-umpiring decisions, as you mentioned, that I've seen this year, which, as I said, I think that when the umpires... I think the 4 umpires in the NAB Challenge this year, I saw games where I didn't notice there was an extra umpire. I thought not only were they good and positioned themselves well, but I didn't actually... realise that there was an extra man out there.
Well, I've told you before that it was trialled many years ago as well, when Jeff Geeshan was in charge of a game. Terry Wallace was involved. I'm trying to think of the other coach at the moment. But Jeff and the coaches decided they would trial 4 umpires. The actual coaches actually forgot they were trialling 4 umpires. And then after the game, Greg actually mentioned to the coaches, what did you think of the 4 umpires? And I said, oh, I forgot there was 4 umpires out there. Yeah. And also, the media who attended that NAB Cup Challenge game on that particular day, not one person actually picked up there was 4 umpires on the ground. So from that point of view, it was Lee Matthews it was. It was Terry Wallace and Lee Matthews.
Yep.
Now, if that's the case, I know a lot of fans would jump up and down and say, you know, too many umpires on the field getting in the way of each other. But on those occasions that we've seen it trialled, I don't think we've seen that as being a problem. So therefore, why not grab a game somewhere during the course of the year and trial it under the heat of, you know, four premiership
under
points,
the heat of battle.
Under the heat of battle, yep. And, you know, just seeing the positioning of the umpires and see how the fans react to it and the players and the coaches.
Not only that, do you trial, say, an expanded umpiring panel? Obviously, if you bring it in full-time, you'd probably need that. Or, Kevin, do you rotate, as Mark Evans suggested earlier?
I like that idea.
Do you look at the guys that did the Friday night and perhaps with the four system, they could do another game on the Sunday? Now, that's something that I think we can think about. Because obviously they're the best umpires.
Yes. The fans might like that. 9-4-2-9-11-16, if you have the best umpires umpiring more than one game per week. And also there's been a lot of talk from the fans over previous years, Greg, of full-time professional umpires. Now, if they're umpiring more games, then maybe you can move to full-time professional umpires, because during the week, I mean, obviously, if they're umpiring two games, they'll need recovery like players, and then there's other aspects of the game they can practice and maybe even go out into the community, go to league clubs and, you know, run practice sessions with the league clubs as well. So you're fully on core, because there's not as many umpires actually on the panel. So you'd get full-time umpires, maybe. It adds to the mix if, in fact, they can umpire more than one game on a weekend.
Yeah, obviously.
You get the very best then.
You do. And obviously, there's a cost factor involved. But if the AFL think that this is a priority, well, then go for it.
Let's check. Take a few calls with the fans and see whether or not they would like the idea of four umpires. Because let's face it, fans ring up this station all the time, you know, complaining about, you know, someone got a push in the back and there's a miss free kick here. And we say, well, look, that's the rub of the green. You've got to take the good with the bad. And so many players around the ball. And the umpires, I know, in the past have said, Hayden Kennedy, who's in charge of the umpires, that it's very difficult with so many players around the ball, as we have, to, you know, look through that line of sight. So if we've got another pair of eyes, will it satisfy the football fan? Let's take some calls. Mel joins us from Malvern. G'day, Mel.
G'day, Kev. G'day, Venom.
Would you like
Mel.
To see it?
How are you, mate?
Good.
Listen, look, I saw, Travis Folk one time, that there was two players with chainsaws, a heart surgeon and a brain surgeon on the ground trying to remove his brain, his heart, and cut his arms off, and he still didn't get a free kick. So they just don't pay the free kicks. It's not about having more umpires. It's about paying the free kicks.
Oh, well, they look, if they see it, they've got to pay it. It's as simple as that. And I don't know. Obviously, there's been times, as Kevin mentioned earlier, where umpires just don't see. They're instructed not to guess. So those are the ones that I'm suggesting that we would... I think that we'd have probably better decision-making on the ground than we've got now.
And they would also, with the four, they'd have the umpires in certain positions on the ground, which may help Mel and others. Maybe the umpire didn't have the right line of sight at that particular point of time, Greg, so they'd have a different configuration. I'm certain if they had the four umpires on the ground, I'm pretty certain that's what they trialled also during the NAB
They did. And
challenge.
They, you know, going to running to the right position, getting there, being in a position so that, say, the second or third umpire didn't have to sprint 40 metres to break a pack up or whatever, you've got someone there already. So
either end of the ground for starters.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how it worked. It was a sort of a triangular. We were told we had a briefing during the pre-season, I think, and they sort of worked in a bit of a triangular motion. Mm. So,
felt they had all the angles covered.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Okay.
Or better covered, Kevin.
Michael's in Spotswood. G'day, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, gents.
G'day, Mick.
Yeah, as far as... putting anyone on the ground who's going to take away the impact of TV scrutiny, absolutely agree with another set of eyes. However, some years ago, I remember Gary Lyon writing an article about giving the extra boundary umpire the ability and the authority to make a call, particularly a boundary line throw-in where the line of sight is back and front, making them... have an impact on the game so that things could be seen.
Yeah, look,
if we added those guys in, might be handy.
They were allowed to make certain decisions in NAB Cups gone previously, but look, I honestly reckon the boundary umpire struggles to throw the ball in far enough at the best of times now, let alone give them the burden of looking at incidents and calling for a free kick, especially when they're not trained to do so,
yes.
Like the field umpire.
I think that's a good point, Michael, that Greg makes there. You know, you're looking at the training up the best at making decisions on, you know, what takes place in the game. I think the skills of the boundary umpire are a lot different, of course. Obviously, he's got a lot of running to do. But maybe decision-making being a field umpire is not his strength. But, you know, for those that get to that level of umpiring an AFL game, they've reached a very, very high level, the highest level they can actually reach. So if we've got those people who can make those good decisions and therefore they've made their way through the ranks as a field umpire, surely we'd be better off using them in a game rather than, you know, someone who runs the boundary line. We'll take a break. We'll come back and I'll take more of your calls. You can always set the sporting agenda, 9429 1116. What's on your mind in sport?
I have no doubt that meant that umpires were in better positions. I have no doubt that although it didn't change the distance that they ran, I don't think they were running with as much intensity to get into position, and I think that can only improve decisional accuracy. So it's something we want to continue to explore.
So 2016 we'll have it, do you think?
That will depend a lot on the umpiring fraternity as well as what we want to do, and we've certainly whet the appetite for that discussion to be had.
That was Mark Evans talking about the success of the four umpires after that NAB challenge. 2016 was mentioned there. I think that we've got to trial it in 2015, this year. Trial it during the course of the season, and if the fans like it and it's the success that I think it'll be, and I think others think it will be, then obviously it'd be a lot easier to bring it straight into the game in 2016. Who knows? People may like it, and we may even have two or three games during 2015 if the four umpire system really works.
Look, I liked his point too, where he said the umps probably still run as far, but their intensity of running would be reduced, which would make for better decision making.
Greg, just before we go back to our callers, now you checked up yesterday. The buzz was
what
talking to me.
What were you blokes on about yesterday? Fair dinkum. You should do your homework, Kevin. Brad Sewell stood himself down from the match review panel on Tuesday.
I never said he adjudicated on the match review panel.
You said if he was there. Now, do your homework.
Well, that's the question I asked. The buzz said he was talking about the match review panel and, of course, Jordan Lewis, and fans were jumping up and down. And he mentioned Brad was on the match review panel.
Yes, but they...
Number four. And I said, I would be very uncomfortable if, in fact, he sat in on that case.
Yes.
So what did you find out?
Well, it's not what I found. I found out that he didn't sit.
Well, that's the right decision.
What we've always known is that there's four members of the match review panel, Nathan Burke, Ball, Michael Christian, and, of course, Sewell, but only three of them sit at any one time, so they rotate it. So Brad stood himself down. Daniel Harford didn't sit on the tribunal jury on Tuesday night either, and
that's the correct decision.
Although they got a cast of thousands to be on the jury, which was Henwood, Loveridge, and Wakelin, and it's interesting because when time elapses from once you retire to getting a job at the AFL on one of these panels, like Richard Loveridge, Hawthorn man, sat in assessing the Hodge case,
and it hasn't played for
25 years, exactly. So I think that's absolutely fine. I think everything was handled perfectly earlier in the week by the AFL.
North Melbourne fans, are you going to apologise for not turning up at matches? No. 38,000.
Look, after two games against non-Victorian clubs, attracting 22,000 only this year, we asked for North Melbourne fans to turn up, and 38. What a great effort on the weekend! It was a good match. And, well, it was a good match early.
When I mentioned that during the week, some Hawthorn fans did ring up to say that it was a make-up game for Hawthorn, so that may have helped swell the numbers. But it was a North Melbourne home game at Eddie Hedden. They got 38,000. Jean-Pierre joins us from Collingwood. Good day, Jean-Pierre.
And good morning, Kevin, and good morning, gentlemen.
Good day, mate.
2 points, if I may. Firstly, I agree with you with the four umpire decision, Kevin. And the other thing that I want to throw to you is why don't they set them up in a control zone?
Well, look, I think they will, and they're still working on it. They've only trialled it a few times. That's why I think if we trial it in a game this year, we'll get the best feedback from the players and the coaches and the fans. And then, you know, whatever they're doing at the moment, however they line up in positions they took during the NAB Cup or the NAB Challenge games, you know, they can adjust that if necessary, you know. But I think if we do it, Jean-Pierre, in a full-on game where everything's at stake, then I think we're going to get a much better idea of how the umpires handle it. And also it'd be good feedback from the umpires to say whether or not they felt they were always in the best positions. Because, as Mark Evans has said, They probably don't have to run as hard, therefore they can make probably better decisions, because often when we're fatigued, we don't make good decisions. So I think the feedback would be terrific on where they should actually be. Tim is in St Kilda. G'day, Tim.
Good morning, KB.
Good morning, Tim.
Greg Venom.
G'day, mate.
Greg, your Venom again for that non-decision that you're talking about. Play the whistle. Irrelevant, good, bad or indifferent. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some bad decisions. You're going to win some good decisions. Don't criticise the umpires.
No. I can criticise the umpires because they missed an obvious blatant free kick that sent a bloke straight off the ground with a hit to the head, put on the substitute vest and is in doubt this week with concussion. Give me a break. Now, if the fourth umpire was there, was what we're talking about today, the least thing that would have happened is he would have, if he was doing his job properly,
well, we hope there's a better chance
would have paid a free kick, high free kick.
You don't like the ideas of the idea of four umpires, Tim?
Yeah, I do like the ideas of four umpires, Kev. I disagree with Greg because he can criticise, but it doesn't. You just, as a player, you just got to play the rules. I understand the bloke might miss. I understand it might be a bad decision, but you're going to get that in football. You know, at the same time with the match review committee, where the Gold Coast player may get 3 weeks for hitting some bloke without any malice, KB, he was attacking the football.
I'll turn it up. Turn it up, please.
And then Jordan Lewis, who had no intentions of playing the football, and his actions were purely malice with no intent for the football, gets 2 weeks and the other bloke gets 3.
Well, you can argue that. I mean,
The bloke got 2 weeks
put up,
Kevin,
by supporters.
Okay. At the Gabba, it was a 2 week offence for May. Play
on
Metricon,
for Tommy
whatever.
Rockcliffe too, by the way.
Yeah, and
no free kick.
Well, it was the second worst non-umpiring decision of the weekend if there wasn't a free kick there. Look, you and Patrick talked about this at length earlier in the week. May got 2 weeks. He got the 3 because he was stupid enough to challenge, right? Because he had plenty of alternatives. The bloke that May hit ended up in hospital for observation and may well miss again this week with concussion. Goldstein played out the game. So, I mean, gee whiz, I think we've got to be realistic about these penalties.
I was surprised also again last night, Nathan Buckley was on the news talking about all things Collingwood, of course, but mentioned Stephen May and said he still wasn't comfortable with the fact that Stephen May got 3 weeks. And he talked about, you know, if he had a dive on the ball, then, you know, he gives away a free kick and it's 30 metres out from goals. But let's face it, he had plenty of opportunities. He could have pushed Rockcliffe in the side. He could have put his arm out for a normal shepherd and lent on him if he wanted to. He could have actually gone for the ball if he wanted to. And in actual fact, what we see many times in football, maybe 50 times every weekend, Rockcliffe could have got to the ball first and picked up the ball, then he could have got tackled. We see that all the time in football now, where a player's in a better position than another. He doesn't recklessly run in and make collisions. He waits for the player to pick up the ball, and no sooner does he pick up the ball that he's tackled. So I've still got no idea why Nathan Buckley would feel uncomfortable with Stephen May receiving 3 weeks. Warwick's in Cheltenham. G'day, Warwick.
Good morning, gentlemen.
G'day, Warwick.
First of all, you know, Greg, I'm sad that I wasn't a betting man and, you know, backing Collingwood to make the 8. And the second thing, I want to talk about loyalty. Now, the big question is, Joffa, is he going to be at the Collingwood Geelong match or is he going to be in the front row of the Melbourne City victory match?
Oh, he's got to be there at the MCG Friday night. Pies are certainties.
Yes, but he likes going to the soccer as well.
I know, but surely his first love's got to be the Pies, and he's got to be there on Friday night where Collingwood could win this game by 7 goals, Kevin, and so Joffa has to be there. I'd be very upset if he's not.
Any changes to the Carlton side, you think, this week against Collingwood?
To the Carlton side? Yeah. Geelong?
Sorry, Geelong side, I should say. I'm sorry, I want to talk about Carlton side with Carlton. Any changes with Carlton this week when they play Brisbane? Because Brisbane, we're told by Greg Swan, are just uncompetitive.
Yeah, it's a pity that. There's certainly a problem, as you guys alluded to earlier in the week, that football in Queensland is at its lowest ebb it's been in for some time. So Greg Swan couldn't even put his finger on why they were basically non-competitive since round one. So, yeah, big problems up there.
Well, we've got coming up Greg Denham's match committee, so this is where you can make some changes. You can be the chairman of selectors leading into what's going to be selection tonight as well. Coogs is in Hoppers Crossing. G'day, Coogs.
Yeah, good morning, KB. How you going, Greg? Listen, guys, we don't need four umpires. What we need to do, KB, is take your advice, reduce rotations. That'll fatigue players. They'll play in their positions like they did in the 80s and 90s when footy was the best. It was a spectacle back then. We can get it back to that. You might even grow the game. International people might start watching it again instead of having 36 players running around the ball. What do you reckon?
Well, look, I have no doubt the game's going to be far better off once we get rid of interchange. But at the moment, it's 120. Interchange is not going to change, you know, drastically at the moment. Even if they bring it down, they may bring it down to 80. That seems to be what's been bandied around. So if they bring it down to 80, I still think there's room there for the four umpires to be in charge and in control. If it came down like I would, you know, like it to be, and that is to have no interchange whatsoever, you just have reserves, well then obviously you can have less umpires. But at the moment, we can only look at the way the game is being played, and I would think the game would be enhanced if in fact we had four umpires because of the amount of players, what you're talking about, all around the ball. This is what Jeff Gishon said on this program on Feb 18th, talking about the practice game between Richmond and Brisbane when he first trialled four umpires.
We ran four of our better umpires simply because we wanted to work, we wanted to see how well it would go. So I think it was Darren Goldstein, Steve McBurney, Shane McInerney and Justin Schmidt, who are all very good decision makers. The outcome of that was that on that particular game, on the day, our coaches picked up one error. When they went through the tape, they found another one. So they only found two errors, which was just sensational in terms of decisional accuracy.
So there was Jeff Gishon having a chat. Just some of the SMSs.
Well, the average is 9 per game. So if they only made 2, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, some of the SMSs are just talking about, you know, like in basketball. I mean, it's on a very small court, basketball, and they have two referees on a very, very small court. Now, we play on the biggest oval of any sport in the world, you know, with more players actually being on the ground. So it's sort of common sense, isn't it, that under those circumstances, if in fact, you know, because of interchange, we've got so many players around the ball and it's more difficult. Well, if we're not going to bring it right down on interchange at the moment, the best thing to do to get better accuracy is to get another umpire out there. We'll take a break. Don't forget, if you want to catch up with Greg and always have a chat, shoot down to the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. The big news is that the food is so popular, upstairs is open for dinner with private dining rooms also available. And don't forget the cosy open fireplaces and all the footy on the four big screens. Spread Eagle Hotel on 9428 6895. Also off the message banks, Greg, the NBA has three refs, not two, and the NBL has three refs. So you've got three referees on a very, very small court, and yet we've only got three umpires on these massive grounds that we actually play on. Some of the SMS are saying, why has there been no mention of Ablett's leadership of the Suns? I noticed today in The Age and also the Herald Sun, there's talk about other drinking problems with the Gold Coast Suns. There were some others on the weekend. Greg Broughton's been mentioned. Danny Stanley has been mentioned on the weekend. They were drinking with you know, suspended housemates as well. I don't know whether we can blame Gary Ablett for all the problems with the Gold Coast Suns. I mean, they've had coaching staffs up there. They've got board members as well, assistant coaches. I don't know whether it all just comes back on the fact that, you know, Gary Ablett is the captain.
No.
And they've got problems.
No, but something's wrong. There's something drastically wrong up there. But
it may not be Gary Ablett.
No. But fault. There's something drastically wrong, and I think that it's starting to filter out now in several papers today that Ablett's leadership abilities, he might not be captain next year. But that can happen. He's going to be into his 30s and he probably needs to hand over anyway.
Okay, Kevin, it's simple. 10 rotations max, a quarter and 6 interchange. No sub. Seriously, it's that simple, says David. Patrick is in Point Cook. G'day, Pat.
Morning, KB. Morning, Greg. How are you going?
Good, you?
Good. Just getting back to Michael Walters getting knocked out, the match review panel assessed the decision and said that there was no case to answer for. Dunn went in to tackle Walters when he had the ball. Now, Walters was bending down. Dunn connected with Walters' head, knee first.
Yep.
Now, isn't it Dunn's obligation to make sure that when he's tackling a player, the onus is on him to make sure that he does it in a way that doesn't injure?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes, it is. And I thought that he was a little bit fortunate, but how the match review panel assessed it was that, as I mentioned earlier, caused by circumstances outside the control of Dunn, because Walters suddenly turned into him. Obviously, he wasn't expecting that to make contact.
So therefore, he initiated the contact nearly.
Walters, yes.
Or partly initiated
yes.
the contact.
So we give Dunn the benefit of the doubt. I think there was a few Fremantle people that weren't very happy, though.
When you say that, you mean coach or
some
hierarchy.
Fremantle people weren't very happy.
Kevin. Read Ross Lyon.
Well, you can read whatever you think.
Dennis is in Watsonia. G'day, Dennis.
G'day, boys.
G'day, Den.
Kevin, the line of sight's not your problem when you got two examples in the St Kilda-Essendon game where an umpire disallowed an advantage when he clearly saw the St Kilda player pick the ball up and play on straight away and kick a point. Then he brought it back. And then in the same quarter, another umpire with a perfect line of sight paid a mark on a handball, blew the whistle.
Yeah.
Blew the whistle for the when the St Kilda player took the ball. And luckily for him, the St Kilda player played on straight away and he called play on.
Well, that's obviously he got confused between a handball and he must have just, maybe he was huffing and puffing and huffed into the whistle. With the advantage rule, that's up to the player to take the advantage rule. That's not the umpire's call to make the advantage anymore. It's up to the player to make that call. And if the player wants to take that advantage, well, then the umpire will call play on. If the player grabs the ball and looks like he was going to take advantage and then stops and puts his hand up, well, then obviously the umpire will recall it and give the free kick to the player who initially had the free kick. But it's the umpire these days, they're not the ones that actually call advantage. That's up to the player to decide whether or not he wants to take it.
Well, it's obvious from Albert's call, from Dennis's call, that you know whether we have a three- or four-man umpiring system, there's mistakes every week. So we just hope that with four, they get a little bit better.
Albert's in Carnegie. G'day, Albert.
G'day, Kevin and Greg. Just two suggestions on the umpires. If you were to have four, could you have three umpires on the field, so one in the forward, one in the centre and one in the back half, and one in a booth somewhere taking the live feed from the cameras with the capacity to call out threes real-time to the umpies on the ground? And a second suggestion, could you possibly have the umpires geared up with cameras on their head so that that's all recorded in real time and possibly used for broadcasting as well.
Too many sci-fi movies for you, Albert, I'm afraid. Look, that's an absolute stupid call. But anyway, one thing that I will say out of this, even if we do get
it's not stupid.
Yes, it is.
It's
ridiculous.
It's a recommendation.
Kevin.
Not stupid, Greg.
Well, I think it's stupid.
No, you were saying, should we have the opportunity of using the guy upstairs who is watching it on
let me finish.
A free kick to Travis Cloak who
let
was held
finish,
off the ball.
Let me finish.
Well, don't say it was a stupid call.
Let me finish my point.
It's quite intelligent.
I think we need four umpires on the field without cameras, without lights, without whatever, radar. But I still think that we can probably extend the goal umpiring review, probably have someone in there, as there are now, in the grandstand, to even look at boundary umpire decisions. For example, the Jamie Elliott one the other day, I think it was.
Yes.
So I do think that the video camera can extend probably for the whole way around the ground. But you don't need an umpire in a booth and three others. That's just carry on from what we've got now.
But it's just score review at the moment, Greg, isn't it? It's not decision making.
Yeah.
The third umpire sitting up top, if he sees Travis Cloak pushing the back,
no,
doesn't say it's a free kick to
no,
Travis
and we,
Cloak.
No, I don't think we want that.
That's what was suggested by Albert. He thinks that's worthy. And also, just with the cameras on the top of the head, well, they have done that and do that with the goal umpire to help, you know, with score reviews.
Yep, and that's fine.
There's something they're not quite certain about. We'll take a break. We're coming back with more of your calls and Greg Venom Denham.
Now, we'll make those assessments as in the ensuing days. You know, we're quietly confident.
When you don't bring effort or you don't play to what the instructions are, and that you have to find out what the reason is.
He's in the mix, stayed in the mix because of what he did today, so it was quite encouraging.
Thursday, selection day in the AFL. Who's in? Who's out? Who have you lost patience with? Call 9429 1116 to join the match committee and pick your team's best side.
Yes, who's in the mix? And, of course, Greg Denham's match committee. So you can tell us who you think should come into your side this weekend, who should go out. You'll be chairman of the match committee. Greg, I'm hoping Deledio comes back for the Tigers for that big game against North Melbourne. If Deledio comes back in, Tigers will beat North Melbourne down there in Hobart. And I reckon if Mitch Clark comes back in and Stokes comes back in for the Cats, I think they can topple the Pies as well.
Okay, well,
if those two can come back into the side.
There's two losers. If you're out there listening to that, just strike those two clubs clubs out. It's going to be an interesting selection night tonight for all clubs. Kevin, Gold Coast, for example, have got to make at least seven changes. So seven blokes come out. They've already played 32 players in five rounds. I reckon that's nearly a world record. Still no Ablett. I reckon Jimmy Tumpus might come back for the D's. There you go. He's sent back to the VFL, and my reports, the spies down there tell me that he's gone really, really good. And just watch out. Frawley's probably not this week for Hawthorn, but I reckon he'll play for Melbourne next against Melbourne next week. Keep your eye out for young Billy Stretch, Stephen Stretch's boy. Nearly ready to crack it for his first game for the D's.
Okay. Greg, you owe an apology to North Melbourne because the members turned up. I reckon you owe an apology to Albert, who had a very, very good idea. A lot of SMSs are saying that in the NBL, they go upstairs for adjudication. Albert had a very, very good thought to put
through. Kevin, they ring
so
you.
So you can apologise to Albert.
They play baseball games.
Saying it was a stupid call and he's been watching too much sci-fi.
They'll make a call from Florida to New York for a decision at second base.
Correct. So I reckon apology to North Melbourne, apology to Albert, and certainly a massive apology to the Bulldogs.
You have got
so much egg all over your face.
Nothing
Greg.
Personal, Albert, but if that was considered offensive, I am sorry. But, Kevin, I've got to call
it. I found it offensive, Greg.
Oh, well, you find everything offensive. I call it how I see it, Kevin. Otherwise, you want to have people in here with no opinions. You can't have that. That's an absolute stupid call, but anyway.
That's you talking about yourself. Timmy's in Craigieburn. G'day, Tim.
Morning, KB and Greg.
G'day, Tim.
I agree with the four umpires.
Yes, good.
And the best type to trial this would be rounds 11, 12 and 13 in the split rounds. The stress on the umpires won't be as much because there's not many games.
Okay, rounds 11, 12 and 13. That's not a bad idea. They probably won't do it this year, but I was going to say they could trial umpires umpiring more than one game during that period of time, but maybe with the squad they've got, they can't do that at the moment. But certainly that's a good way of doing it. Rounds 11, 12 and 13. Good call, Tim. Cameron's in Pasco Vale. G'day, Cam.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
G'day, mate.
Gentlemen, just want to toss up the elevation of a legend into the Hall of Fame this year, or the other way around, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Is there one available this year?
Yeah, there is, Kev.
Is there? Yep. Okay.
Yeah, there is one. And listening to commentary recently, it seems to be a race in four. Everyone's talking about Ablett, Dunstall, Carey and Lockett. I'm under the impression that to be considered as a legend in the Hall of Fame, we only take into consideration the exploits of your football career. Nothing to do with your media, nothing to do with anything else outside of football.
That is correct.
Yep.
Then I want to know why there's a player that has an official AFL medal named after him. He has played in the most number of grand finals, being at 11. He has seven premiership medallions, and he has played 426 games of our football. Why is Michael Tuck not already a legend in the Hall of Fame?
Look, it's a fair call, Cam. I think that you make a very, very strong case. And if someone should be a legend, Michael
Well, you're
Tuck,
not on the panel anymore.
And I'm not
you
on
the used
panel
to
anymore.
Be on the panel, so yeah. So you may have provided a bit
And also
more.
He's lost his official AFL medal because there's no NAB Cup anymore, which was named after Michael Tuck. I think you can make a very strong case, Cam, that 426 games, as you say, more grand finals than anyone else, more premierships than anyone else. His contribution to the game has been extraordinary, and I think it's a very good call. If anyone can think of anyone better than Michael, I mean, there's a lot of great people out there, I know, but I think it's hard to argue against that. Bill's in Hughesdale. G'day, Bill.
Oh, g'day, KB and Greg. How are you?
Good, mate. You?
Good, thank you. Apologies to Trout. I canned Richmond last week about having to go to the doctors for anxiety or their fans, but I take on board his advice, and people like Trout. Football's in good shape. He's really good for the game. And with the Bulldogs, I know the AFL give him a lot of money and a lot of help, but if everyone, you commentators, everybody's, even Greg, he's getting on board with the Bulldogs and happy the way they play and they're good for the game.
Yep.
I think the AFL, help them. And if it's going to bring the fans back, the Bulldogs seem to be able to do it. So go Bulldogs and all the best, guys.
Thank you. And the Bulldogs were fantastic. You saw a brilliant game live last week, Kevin. Yes. Especially with the wet conditions, I didn't think that you were going to enjoy yourself last Saturday afternoon, but it was fantastic to watch.
Greg, I mentioned during the NAB Challenge that the Bulldogs played a fantastic game against Collingwood. And when I watched that game, you could see the style of play that Luke Beveridge was getting the Dogs to play. Of course, you laughed at me and said, that's rubbish. Don't take any notice of those games. So Mickey Mouse.
Yep.
Now, the way they've taken that into the real season,
yes.
And I've heard Bob Murphy talk about that, that game against Collingwood gave them the belief of what they were capable of doing, even though you said it was a Mickey Mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that they've actually played now. They've beaten Adelaide and they've beaten Sydney last weekend. The Bulldogs are now a genuine chance, Greg, of making the top eight.
Well, I still disagree.
Realistic
with
chance of making the top eight.
Of course they are. But,
lost
but they didn't, get their,
week,
they didn't
good.
Get their belief, Kevin, from going into a Mickey Mouse
yes, they did.
NAB Cup
they
game
did.
Against Collingwood.
They
got
did.
It.
They needed
they got
belief.
It. Against West Coast at Etihad Stadium in round one, when both the game was played at absolutely blistering pace. Mm-hmm. They fought back from a couple of times they were headed, came back strongly, got the money, and that's where they gained their belief,
now,
not in the NAB Cup.
Now, you're pumping up Collingwood as we go to the break. They played Brisbane Lions in the first game. Uncompetitive, says Greg Swan. Lost to Adelaide Crows. They're being thrashed by 10 goals at three-quarter time. Collingwood kicked some junk goals in the last quarter. Then they played St Kilda, of course. Most people think bottom three. Beat Essendon on Anzac Day, which was a very good performance, although Essendon again last week struggled. And then they beat Carlton, who most people think are going to be bottom three. So are we getting ahead of ourselves in thinking that Collingwood is some super side at the moment?
Oh, they're not a super side. No one's... Oh, I'm not.
You don't give Geelong any chance at all against Collingwood, do you?
No, I don't. You know why? Because it's their third game in 18 days. They were nearly out on their feet last week. They've got a heap of injuries. Collingwood have got the seven-day break. Collingwood will run over... If you tip Geelong, by all means. But Collingwood will run over the Cats this week. The last time off a similar break, which is Geelong last year, when they, I think it was about just before mid-season, they played Sydney, got beaten by 110 points off the similar 18-day break against a fresh team who were in the top eight. So, no, I don't think... As much as I love Geelong and they're not in decline, I just think they'll run out of legs
this week.
They're
in decline, but they might be good enough to beat the Pies.
Well, you tip Geelong, by all means. Collingwood are the best bet of the weekend.
I've got to put in my tips at midday today.
Well, you better pick.
Where's Mitch Clark? Is he playing, Greg? I've got to know, is Mitch Clark playing for the Cats? Is Stokes playing for the Cats?
Well,
that's what I've got to know.
I reckon Stokes is a chance. I don't know. I wouldn't have thought they'd play both Clark and Stanley, so one of them will miss, I would have thought.
No, I'm interested in Mitch Clark
being
available.
Ring up your
and
mate.
Stokes.
Ring up your mate down there and see who's playing.
Who?
Steve Hocking, Brian Cook, your mates with all the Geelong boys.
We'll take a break. Don't forget, catch up with Greg down at the Spread Eagle, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. They've got the big news, of course. The food is so popular. Upstairs, open for dinner with private dining rooms also available. Got the four big screens down there and the beautiful fireplaces as well. That's the Spread Eagle Hotel on 94286895. Greg, a couple of updates for me. What about Jesse Hogan? Is he staying at Melbourne, is he?
Absolutely. Won't be leaving. 200-game player. He's a ripper, isn't he?
And Jared Pollock, another Port Adelaide player injured?
Bad injury this week, particularly, I was reading Michelangelo Rucci last night, and Port Adelaide have not won in their last five games at home since a showdown. It'll be interesting against West Coast, who we'll know about Josh Kennedy later on today,
okay,
too.
Factor that in when you're selecting in round six. Greg, we'll catch you tomorrow.
Cheers, pal.